An interesting one. I was awfully surprised, though, to hear that Angela's mother had lasted this long. I'd assumed the woman had died ages ago. God knows everyone else has. But why should anyone's longevity surprise me, when I myself have clung to existence like a barnacle to a boat bottom? I can't be the only ancient woman still tottering around New York City, absolutely refusing to abandon either her life or her real estate. It was the last line of Angela's letter, though, that impacted me the most. "Vivian," Angela wrote, "given that my mother has passed away, I wonder if you might now feel comfortable telling me what you were to my father." Well then, what was I to her father? Only he could have answered that question. And since he never chose to discuss me with his daughter, it's not my place to tell Angela what I was to him. I can, however, tell her what he was to me. 1. In the summer of 1940, when I was 19 years old and an idiot, my parents sent me to live with my Aunt Peg, who owned a theater company in New York City. I had recently been excused from Vassar College on account of never having attended classes and thereby failing every single one of my freshman exams. I was not quite as dumb as my grades made me look, but apparently it really doesn't help if you don't study. Looking back on it now, I cannot fully recall what I'd been doing with my time during those many hours that I ought to have spent in class, but, knowing me, I suppose I was terribly preoccupied with my appearance. I do remember that I was trying to master a reverse roll that year, a hairstyling technique that, while infinitely important to me and also quite challenging, was not very Vassar. I'd never found my place at Vassar, although there were places to be found there. All different types of girls and cliques existed at the school, but none of them stirred my curiosity, nor did I see myself reflected in any of them. There were political revolutionaries at Vassar that year, wearing their serious black trousers and discussing their opinions on international foment, but I wasn't interested in international foment. I'm still not. Although I did take notice of the black trousers, which I found intriguingly chic, but only if the pockets didn't bulge. And there were girls at Vassar who were bold academic explorers, destined to become doctors and lawyers long before many women did that sort of thing. I should have been interested in them, but I wasn't. I couldn't tell any of them apart, for one thing. They all wore the same shapeless wool skirts that looked as though they'd been constructed out of old sweaters, and that just made my spirits low. It's not like Vassar was completely devoid of glamour. There were some sentimental, doe-eyed medievalists who were quite pretty, and some artistic girls with long and self-important hair, and some high-bred socialite types with profiles like Italian greyhounds, but I didn't befriend any of them. Maybe it's because I sensed that everybody at this school was smarter than me. This was not entirely youthful paranoia. I uphold to this day that everybody there was smarter than me. To be honest, I didn't understand what I was doing at college, aside from fulfilling a destiny whose purpose nobody had bothered explaining to me. From earliest childhood, I'd been told that I would attend Vassar, but nobody had told me why. What was it all for? What was I meant to get out of it, exactly? And why was I living in this cabbagey little dormitory room with an earnest future social reformer? I was so fed up with learning by that time, anyhow. I'd already studied for years at the Emma Willard School for Girls in Troy, New York, with its brilliant all-female faculty of seven sisters graduates. And wasn't that enough? I'd been at boarding school since I was 12 years old, and maybe I felt that I had done my time. How many more books does a person need to read in order to prove that she can read a book? I already knew who Charlemagne was, so leave me alone, is how I saw it. Also, not long into my doomed freshman year at Vassar, I had discovered a bar in Poughkeepsie that offered cheap beer and live jazz deep into the night. I'd figured out a way to sneak off campus to patronize this bar, my cunning escape plan involving an unlocked lavatory window and a hidden bicycle. Believe me, I was the bane of the house warden.